Chapter 8. Chasing the Aurora.
It was dark when I returned to Baker Street. Sherlock Holmes had gone to his room. All night I heard him walking up and down. The next morning at breakfast, he looked tired.
"I can't sleep,"
he said.
"We are so close to solving this mystery, but the boat can't be found."
We heard nothing all that day either. Early the next morning, I woke up and was surprised to see Sherlock Holmes standing by my bed. He was dressed as a sailor, with a jacket and a red scarf around his neck.
"I'm going to the river, Watson. I've been thinking, and there's one thing left to try."
"Can I come with you?" I asked.
"No,"
he replied.
"I want you to stay here. Wiggins may come with news. If any notes or telegrams arrive, then open them and do what you think is best."
He left. It was a long day. No news came. I tried to read, but could not concentrate. I wondered if, for the first time, Holmes had got it all wrong. At about 3 o'clock, Athelney Jones came to the house. He had received a telegram from Holmes telling him to go to Baker Street. We heard someone coming slowly up the stairs. An old man in sailor clothes came in. He had thick white eyebrows and a long grey beard. "Can I help you?" I asked him.
"Is Mr. Sherlock Holmes here?"
he asked. I told the old man that he was out. "But you can give any messages to me," I said.
"No, I have to tell Sherlock Holmes,"
said the old man. "Well, you must wait for him then. Is it about Mordecai Smith's boat?" I asked. The old man said that it was, and that he knew all about the treasure as well. He did not want to wait, but Mr. Athelney Jones told him that he had to. The old man sat down, and we continued with our conversation and our cigars. After a few moments, we heard Sherlock Holmes's voice.
"Is there a cigar for me too?"
he said. We both jumped. "Holmes!" I said. "But where is the old man?"
"Here is the old man,"
he said, holding out some white hair.
"I thought my disguise was pretty good, but not that good."
He laughed.
"I have been working like this all day. How are you, Mr. Jones?"
he asked. Athelney Jones shook his head.
"Not good. I had to release two of my suspects."
"Don't worry,"
said Holmes.
"If you do as I say, we'll have two more prisoners for you. You can take all the credit, but you must do as I say."
Athelney Jones agreed.
"I'll need a fast police boat to be at Westminster at 7 o'clock, and two strong men,"
said Holmes.
"When we catch the men, we'll get the treasure. I'm sure Watson here wants to take the box around to Miss Mawson. Half of it is hers, after all. I want an unofficial interview with Jonathan Small. And you must stay for dinner, Mr. Jones."
Soon it was time to go. Holmes told me to take my pistol. We arrived at the river at Westminster, and our boat was waiting for us. Holmes told the police to stop opposite Jacobson's yard. On the way, he told me what had happened.
"Watson, I have been thinking. Jonathan Small and his friend from the Andaman Islands are very noticeable, so they do everything by night. They pay Mordecai Smith well to keep the Aurora ready for them. Then they wait a night or two. Then, when they think it's safe, they take the boat to Gravesend, where they probably have tickets on a ship for America. That's what they're going to do tonight."
"But what about the Aurora?" I asked. "Why hasn't it been found? It's not easy to hide a boat."
"No,"
agreed Holmes.
"That's why we're going to Jacobson's yard. The men have taken the boat to a boat builder and told them to make a small repair. The boat is now hidden inside one of their buildings. I asked at several boat builders until I found the Aurora at Jacobson's. The man told me that there was nothing wrong with the boat. I was there when Mordecai Smith arrived. He was drunk. He told the man that he wanted the Aurora at 8 o'clock tonight. So I've left one of the street boys watching the boat. We'll wait out in the water on our police boat, and I'll be surprised if we don't get the boat, the two men, and the treasure this evening.
It was dark when we arrived at the yard. We waited out in the water.
There's the Aurora!
Shouted Holmes suddenly.
It's going very fast. Come on, follow that boat.
I think they're going too fast,
said Athelney Jones.
I don't think we can catch them.
We must catch them,
said Holmes.
Come on!
Slowly, we came closer to the Aurora. We were getting closer and closer when a large boat pulling three smaller ones came between us and the Aurora. By the time we had gone around them, the Aurora was further ahead. But we continued as fast as we could. Athelney Jones put our searchlight on the Aurora. Now they knew we were following them. Athelney Jones shouted at them to stop. The man in the back of the Aurora stood up and made an angry gesture in our direction. He was a tall, powerful man, and I saw that he had a wooden leg. Next to him, a small man stood up, the smallest man I have ever seen. Holmes already had his gun out, and I took out my pistol.
If he raises his hand, fire,
said Holmes quietly. Our boat was now next to theirs. We saw the tiny man take out a short, round piece of wood and put it to his lips. Holmes and I fired together. The small man threw his hands up and fell into the river. The other man turned the Aurora suddenly and went towards the bank. It was a very muddy area. The Aurora hit the bank and the wooden-legged man tried to climb onto the land. But his wooden leg immediately sank in the mud. He could not go forward or backward. He was stuck. We pulled him out of the mud and onto our boat. Mordecai Smith also came on board our boat. On the Aurora, there was a heavy iron chest. It was the treasure. We took it onto our boat and tied the Aurora behind us. We went slowly up the river again. We moved our lights over the river, looking for the man from the Andaman Islands. But there was no sign of him.
Look,
said Holmes.
We were only just quick enough with our pistols.
I looked. Behind us was a poison dart, stuck in the wood of our boat.